We are living now in a strange world where stocks and bonds and gold tend to move in the same direction. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. You know how water runs downhill? It's just the way it is. There's no debate. Well, stocks, bonds, gold, and Bitcoin are not all supposed to go up at the same time. That is how the world is supposed to work, except this winter and spring when stocks, bonds, gold, and Bitcoin have all been generally moving up. This is what some call a kind of head scratcher. Let's try to resolve this by turning to Susan Schmidt, Senior Portfolio Manager at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. Hi, Susan.
Good morning.
All right. When it comes to stocks, bonds, gold, maybe Bitcoin, how does it normally work? What's the expected pattern again?
Well, normally we have two modes we operate in, risk on or risk off. When you want to be risk off, it means you might be a little bit nervous about what's happening in the future. Current events are unsettling, and you want to move to safety. And for some people, that might mean gold, and for some people, that might mean treasuries. And so you see a flow into those asset classes and a flow out of the stock market. Risk on means you feel really good about the future, you're confident in business outlooks, and you want more exposure. So then you're moving into the stock market. It's really unusual because right now we're keen on both.
I know gold's up 9% in the last 6 months. I just did the math on the S&P 500, up 8% during that stretch, both up.
Exactly. So very unusual. We're up across the board, and we're seeing that. That's generally a situation that doesn't happen and certainly doesn't persist. So it's unusual that we've seen it for so many months.
All right. Susan Schmidt at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you.
Today, a big European bank did not collapse. The European Central Bank overnight triggered a financial crisis mechanism and ordered Banco Santander of Spain to buy Banco Popular of Spain for the tidy price of 1 euro. Popular sank under a pile of toxic real estate debt. Note that the Banco Popular on many streets in the eastern United States is a different bank, the one based in Puerto Rico, and not connected with the European merger drama overnight. One of Africa's largest economies has fallen into recession. South Africa's gross domestic product shrank by nearly 1% between the last quarter of 2016 and the first quarter of this year. As Marketplace's Sabri Benishore reports, a lot of that country's troubles start at the top.
South Africans don't put much faith in their own economy these days.
The overall low confidence of consumers and investors is really what is holding growth back.
Darius Yonker covers Africa for the Eurasia Group. Why are so many people so demoralized? Politics.
This really reflects the lack of confidence they have in President Jacob Zuma, with the increasing scandals growing by the day.
The president has been implicated in a patronage network where, Yonker says, state-owned enterprises have effectively become money-making operations for friends and family at the expense of needed reforms. On top of this, South Africa has some very immediate economic challenges. Frank Gill is with S&P Global.
You have very, very high unemployment. It's nearly 28%.
Gill says rising commodity prices and the end of a drought have helped the South African economy. The president has not. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
Hi, David Brancaccio, stepping out of my anchorman role for a second. Marketplace is here because these days I think it's essential to have an independent source exploring how the economy really works, not just for the market participants or the financial geniuses, but for everyone. Your support keeps our kind of reporting coming, and it is especially vital now at the end of our fiscal year. If you could, visit marketplace.org/donate to contribute and to keep us on the beat. Thank you. As the U.S. reexamines its trade relationship with Mexico, some in Mexico are doing the same, questioning the terms of trade with the North. One focus now is on natural gas. Pipelines now carry a record-setting amount of that fuel south across the border, as Ingrid Lobet of iNews Source reports.
The amount of natural gas flowing to Mexico quadrupled in recent years, and it's still increasing fast.
By 2019, the U.S. pipeline export capacity to Mexico is projected to almost double.
That's Victoria Zaretskaya, a natural gas expert with the U.S. Energy Information Administration. Most of the gas is coming from Texas.
This is an unprecedented expansion of U.S. pipeline export capacity that we have never seen before.
Mexico is soaking up all this U.S. natural gas because it realized burning coal and oil and diesel to make electricity was expensive and dirty and released a lot of carbon. Jeremy Martin at the Institute of the Americas at UC San Diego says the timing was right.
As it happened, that was about the same time that the U.S. shale revolution was unleashing enormous amounts of oil and gas in the United States.
So Mexico is switching to cleaner energy at some really good prices. 60% of the natural gas it uses now is imported. But with trade relations between the two countries less steady, Martin and others say some in Mexico are reexamining.
And so now there are those who are saying, well, we made this bet to switch our power generation. We're now starting to wonder if that may be in question.
At the energy consulting firm Suma in Mexico City, Jonathan Pinzón agrees.
Definitely, there is a level of worry. In some government and industry circles, they are discussing alternatives, such as whether gas can be brought in from other regions.
But at the same time, he says, the Trump administration has little incentive to change because U.S. drilling and pipeline companies really benefit from this trade.
In that sense, I think it would be political suicide for the current administration to put any restriction on that gas moving to Mexico.
With all this expensive new pipe in the ground, this flow is probably welded in. I'm Ingrid Lobet for Marketplace.
Ingrid is a reporter with iNewsSource, an independent nonprofit out of San Diego. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.